None of that's usable. None of that is good so far. We've recorded 120 seconds of dead air is what we've done.
Okay. All right. So starting good now.
Well, I was hoping it was going to start good when I said the dead air thing. Like I thought that should have been your marker.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
Like we need to have like a, you know how you and your wife have like a safe word?
Yeah.
We need to have one of those, but for being good at stuff.
Okay. All right. And just saying like, be good now, that doesn't work.
No. It has to be like a secret code word. Cochise. That's what it's going to be.
Oh, okay. All right.
So when I work that into a phrase, like into a conversation, that means, I better step up my game.
Okay. Give me an example.
Okay, here's an example. Hey, Adam, you're really boring. Cochise.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Hello and welcome to episode 582 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany. With me as always is
Adam.
Again, you dropped out, but I don't think you dropped out. I think it was my headphones, buddy.
No, I didn't drop out. I just said Adam. I was like, pause for dramatic. Sorry, dramatic pause. There you go.
Dramatic pause. Pause for dramatic pause.
Yeah, I was like, what word comes next?
Sounds like what your dog has.
Yes.
Okay. Honestly. Hey, Dad, why don't you tell us some knock-knock jokes?
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Are you asking me? I'm the dad?
Or no. I'm the dad in this scenario. I'm dad joking it. Yeah. Okay. No, I'm definitely at the bowling league or whatever. What do dads do? I don't even know. What do you do, Adam?
I don't do a lot.
Yeah, no, obviously. Patreon. If you want to help me buy some headphones, evidently, subscribe, help us out on, you subscribe? You don't subscribe.
I don't know.
You pledge.
Pledge. Yeah. You have to go to Patreon.
No. You go to our website.
And then
there's a link to Patreon. You click on that.
So you don't just go to Patreon and just say, here's some money, Patreon.
You could do that, I suppose, but we're not going to see it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you want to go to our website, twohosers.com, find the Patreon link and pledge a couple bucks a month. That would help us out.
That's great. And glad you clarified, because I was just about to just donate to Patreon. Patreon.
Don't give Patreon.
Joe Patreon was just getting my money.
I just got the bill for 2022's hosting for the show. So, I just paid that, which evidently there was some confusion for a couple of hours. And so I think our show may have gone dark for a couple of hours.
Oh,
I
don't know
how that works.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's back up now, though.
Okay.
Got them sorted out.
Close call.
I guess. I guess. I don't know. I don't care. And if I don't care, nobody cares.
That's right. Yeah. You're the last care.
Yeah. What is going on, Adam? What's going on in Vancouver? We talked a couple days ago.
It's beautiful here, but cold. Yeah. There's this Arctic air that is making it cold.
Okay.
So it's beautiful. It's clear. It's sunny. It's nice outside. And then you wear a winter jacket and a toque.
Oh. What is cold? Like -5?
No, not that cold. I think it was like 1 or 2 out there right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but you're ready for it to be not cold, right?
Yeah, I would, if I took everything that I see outside and dialed it up to like 12 or 13, I would be elated.
Yeah, that's what we had today. We had very nice blue skies, like around 12. But
yeah, that would be nice.
It's going away, though. It's going to go away. We'll ride February out. I don't know. What is this, the weather show?
Mm-hmm. The weather show. But good photography weather. Like, so I do find that with the cold, you get sort of, you know, that little bit of frost on the grass and frost on windows. And it makes for, I mean, the light is great. I mean, now we're starting to get a little bit more light in the evening. So, no, it's great. You get the great morning light, the great, you know, 5:30 is sort of like magical. That's what I guess they call it, magic
5:30 a.m.?
No, p.m. 5, like you get that like early evening. Yeah, I'm up early, but not quite that early. 6 I'm up. Yeah. But been going to the dog parks in the morning and just enjoying the lovely light. So, no, it's great. Get out there, shoot some photos.
That's why we did the challenge for later on, is it was outside. Get outside. So,
yeah.
The end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same thing here. Nice, we have nice weather. It's like I said, it'll probably, you know, it's gonna take a dip. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for that springtime, magic in the air. You know, the excitement, spring fever, Adam.
Mm-hmm. I've got it.
Is that what spring fever is?
I don't know. I've got the fever.
Yeah, never. Oh, and the only cure is more cowbell?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, all right, there's that. Reminder, monthly challenge for February is red. And that's almost up, Adam, in a few days.
I better
when
do
you
that.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
Wait, when you listen to this, this is airing on the 28th. So, yeah, so this is the last day for shooting.
Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
You haven't done yours already?
No.
No, me neither. I haven't even done today's weekly challenge. Like while you vamp for a minute, I'm going to go snap today's challenge.
Oh, so you're really leaving it to the last minute.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's luckily the maybe something will be red in it, and then I could just play it again next week. I have commitment issues.
Sure.
Yeah. So, anyways, hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers on the Instagram, and we will check that out. Oh, even better, do both of those and tag us on the Instagram, and we'll check that out next week. Probably start tagging Sonny the Woodle and everything too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might as well.
I don't know how that works. I think you get like bing, a lot of bings on your phone. Maybe
I have all the sounds turned off, so I get no bings.
Same. I have every sound turned off. It drives everybody crazy.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, didn't you know? Like, yeah.
I miss a lot of stuff, but that's okay.
Yeah, I don't. Actually, nobody texts me. So I'm all set.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
I guess you could. Could you get a notification that somebody liked your image on Instagram? I bet you could.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't have any of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I have no desire for that.
Rip, me either. Yeah.
So there's that. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did some more dog photos, not just of our dog. My parents also have a new dog, a couple weeks younger than Sunny, a golden doodle. So that is a golden retriever poodle mix, another one of the popular kind of
there's got to be a better name for that.
Because you designer have the dogs. We have the Woodle. There's usually people shorten the golden doodle and they just call them doodles. So doodles would be the golden retriever poodle mix. So you got like a super happy-go-lucky breed mixed with a, you know, wicked smart breed. And then they're pretty family friendly, you know, nice kind of easygoing dogs and super popular. A little bit bigger generally than Sunny because she's kind of... she's kind of a mini woodle, but they had the greatest time. So I did snap some photos of Marty the doodle. His name is Marty. He is so Marty. he's like double the size of Sunny, and he is a couple weeks younger. He's just a great dog, just a really nice. They loved each other.
Did he go back to 1955 and try to hook up with his mom?
Oh yes, he did. Time traveling Marty. Yes. So I'm gonna have to throw up a picture at some point of Marty. I haven't put any in the Dropbox because I took a bunch of photos, haven't really gone through them, but yeah, Sunny and Marty were fast friends, and she absolutely was devastated when Marty left. Like, you, like,
oh no,
basically crying when he was getting into the car to leave. It was so cute, and I swear was probably depressed for a day after he left, until she kind of realized that, hey, there's lots of fun people and stuff here too. So she was like, again, it was, figure your kids' first play date, but it lasts for 3 days, and all of a sudden it's like, I have the best friend in the world, and now all of a sudden that friend is going away. So that was kind of the thing.
We had that this summer actually with my son. We met some friends down in Italy, and we didn't meet them down there. We were down there, they were there, and we met them. Hey, you could be our friends.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. So it was 2 weeks of that, and then they left, and there's a picture of my son just bawling his head off. Yeah. So, like, we bought him a Woodle, and everything's fine.
And then everything's fine, yeah. Yeah, Woodles make everything better. Woodles are the best.
I can't believe I even said Woodle out loud.
Yeah, no, it's fun to say. It sort of rolls off the tongue.
It's not terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's fun.
Just to wrap up the Back to the Future talk, if you've never seen John Mulaney's stand-up bit about Back to the Future, do yourself a favor and check that out.
It's okay, fantastic. I will. John Mulaney.
John Mulaney. Do you not know who he is?
No.
Former writer, head writer maybe, on Saturday Night Live. But he does, you might recognize him if you saw him, but he's got a couple of specials on Netflix. Definitely check him out. I find him to be very, very funny, as opposed to other comedians. You're just like, that's not funny.
Okay. John Mulaney.
All right.
Back to the Future. John bit. Mulaney. I'm Googling it right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. That'll be good for podcasting. I also shot very little. I did, though. I finally went and cleared all of my memory cards today. Like I've had stuff on there from September. No, even more, even like further back in the last summer. Because I have a bunch of, like yourself, I have a bunch of cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And generally, I like to stay vigilant on all of that. Like, as soon as I offload it onto my computer, and then once I make a copy, I then like to go and format those cards, but I haven't. And then once you put it back, and then you're like, oh man, I don't, like, do I have that? I don't know. So you leave it. And then it just gets more and more and more. So I finally got caught up today from like 8 months ago.
That's good.
So I shot nothing interesting, but okay. I got rid of a bunch of stuff that was also not interesting.
Right. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. So there we go. That's what I did. But point is, ready to shoot interesting things again.
Okay, you're all set.
Plenty of room.
Okay.
Plenty of room. All right. Photo challenge this week was outside. Get outside, Adam.
Yeah.
You did. Let's see.
I did.
Look at this. I like to make fun of you for most everything, but the fun of the Woodle photos, this one's going to be tough to make fun of.
Yeah, it's pretty glorious in terms of...
This could be an ad for tennis balls.
Yeah, she's just, like, this is pure joy, this dog. Like, going to this is the off-leash area that's not too far from my house, and we like to go there because it's a quiet one. There's different off-leash, kind of big fenced areas around Richmond. This one seems to be very quiet. I don't want to say exactly where it is because then other dogs are going to show up, and Sunny loves having the entire...
Yeah, a lot of dogs listen to our show.
Yeah, or owners might, you don't know. So, this is a secret location that the last three times we've gone there has been all to ourselves, which is amazing. So, yeah, Sunny just loves to chase down the tennis ball, or I started using a batting cage ball. She loved this. This was taken yesterday, which I don't know, figure out the time math because now it's a week ago when this airs. I just will throw it. It's probably about... The length of it is probably about, I don't know, 40 yards. I don't know how many meters that is, but it's a good length, and I'll just throw the ball from one side to the other, and she'll just, like a racehorse, just like charge, and then she'll run and get it, drop it at my feet over and over again. You know how fetch works, right?
Yeah.
She runs like, I love taking, like, so this is the 70 to 200. I'm lying in the grass, which is dangerous in a dog, at a dog.
Yeah. Yeah, whoa, wait
but
a second.
No, it's actually really, really clean, and it's frozen, so you know she's not going to get muddy paws or anything on this day. So she's just flying, and I'm just on like a burst of, I don't know, 10 photos as she gets close, 70 to 200, and just trying to get her in flight, because like when she runs, she's kind of like a bunny rabbit. She kind of like pounces, and so you get all four paws off the ground, and here you go, and the ears flopping in the wind and the breeze blowing her fur everywhere. So in and out of the shadow, you see obviously there's a shadow as she's just coming through the shadow. I chose this one because of how the light is kind of broken up. Some of the photos, she's either in the shadow or fully in the sun, and this was just a moment as she's coming through the shadows, and I just kind of liked the light, and I love the expression says doggy joy.
Okay, doggy DJ, doggy joy.
Yeah.
It does. It does say that. It does say that it's very natural. We have a lot of great elements here. It looks like she's just kind of just on her way down a little bit. So that's what's causing everything to fly up.
Yeah.
The way it's, I don't explain physics to you, Adam, but that's how it works. if you've ever been in an elevator, like on the way down and then just jump, that's kind of how it is.
Sure.
And yeah. Great, and obviously, I mean, really shallow depth of field, so you really went for it, and it looks like the focus tracking does halfway decent job here.
Yeah, it does a pretty good job. So no, that part definitely makes it easier. Now you do get at this, especially with the 70 to 200. I've got the focus at 3 meters plus because it's faster. It slows it down when you go 1.2 meters. So as she gets inside of that range, you're gonna, you know, all of a sudden be missing focus. But, you know, with the 70 to 200 in the reach, I can get her at 5-6 meters away from me and then really get that shallow depth of field. I don't even know what this is, focal length is. Can you see on yours what the focal length is?
Of course I can see. It's right at 200 at an F4.
There you go. So yeah, as shallow as you can really get with that lens. And so I love how it blows out the background. You obviously can tell that there's a fence there, but it's all just kind of not, it doesn't take away from the photo, as opposed to if that was shot at, you know, 70 millimeters, then you're going to see a lot more focus there on that fence, especially camera right.
Yeah, I find the bokeh in this one not as nice as like the F. No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't even go on with that. I hate that. I hate that chatter. I like it. I like the bokeh just fine.
Yeah, that lens is great. It really is great. So
mine used to be great. It was a lot greater. I mean, I shot with mine today a little bit, but it was better before. It wasn't that I dropped it. The fall didn't do anything to it. It was the sudden stop at the end that I think ruined it.
Sure.
Yeah. So it didn't ruin it. It's just not what it was.
And I wouldn't be surprised if now, like, not that you necessarily want to go out and buy another one, but the cost on those lenses has, I think, come down substantially because of the RF lenses and the 70-200s that are out there for the RFs and people wanting to upgrade. And so unloading there, because that was the absolute base model for an L lens, the one that we have, because it doesn't have the IS in it. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if you could pick one up for $400 used, something like that.
Yeah, possibly. We'll see. I can see the future here where I'm going to go into the mirrorless anyway. So, I don't know if I want to replace it or not. I kind of like the idea of paring everything down. I got a lot of stuff I got to get rid of. Maybe that'll be a future episode where we just yard sale everything. If I keep dropping my lenses, I'll take care of it on my own.
Sure. Then it'll be really cheap at the yard sale.
Yeah, a yard sale would be like, yeah, wonderful. So, all right, so here's my shot. Which one am I picking? I can't decide. Which one do you like, Adam? Which one do you like? Which one do you hate least?
I like the one that's shot from a lower angle more.
I like that lighting better.
582. I don't like her shoulder in the second one. 582, yeah. Alan 2. Like, that one to me screams of like posture, kind of. It looks kind of like, you know, her shoulders are kind of like slouched forward. You can see obviously there isn't much separation between her shoulder and her chin. It just, I don't find the posture in that one pleasing, whereas in the other one, shot from the lower angle with her kind of looking up, I like that position much better.
I'm also looking at that first one and thinking that when they do cast for the biopic for the Kurt Cobain story, my daughter's gonna shock.
good call. I didn't really piece that one together, but I definitely see it now. Yeah.
So there's that. We got out there today I shot this today, and because we had a nice sunny day, and it's like, you know, it's the middle of the day, sort of the middle afternoon when the sun isn't delightful, not terrible, because around, I don't know, 4 o'clock, so the sun is dipping down, as you can see on the side of her face, but it's not your typical time to go out in the nice bright sunshine. But we went out there. I want to get the blue skies, kind of get a cool angle. And then I didn't realize until we got out there that she had this kind of lousy, floppy, baggy sweatshirt on that just had no definition to it. So when she's kind of looking off in the distance, which could be a cool photo, I can't tell. Is that her arm? Is that the, what am I looking at here? Like when there's, you say, like, oh, her shoulder slouches forward, and then it's just blah. It's just nothing. Like, wardrobe was terrible on this one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, and then of course, so how I decided to like this one, I thought, okay, I'm going to take the almost never used 17-40 with me, because I wanted to get kind of outside, show some outside stuff, right?
Sure.
And get in close. That's kind of why the shoulder looks funny, because I'm in very close and kind of, you know, getting down low, and that's what makes the shoulder look like it's swollen. And so anyways, I want to get out there. I expose for the background, the nice blue sky, and then just camera left, I have a hard flash lighting her face. So I position her so the sun is basically camera right. It's lighting her back, and I'm then filling in her face with a hard light with a half straw filter on it. Just kind of blasting in her face, which in the second photo, the lighting's a little more even. But it's a little cooler on the Kurt Cobain shot.
Right.
So all in all, and then I tried to frame it with like the tree as the, you know, like you use the birch tree as an element. I kind of wish I'd shot my woodle instead.
So it is kind of a cool looking start to something. I agree that the sweatshirt kind of hurts this one for sure. Yeah. I do like the birch tree and the framing and the blue sky and the background and everything works. It's just, yeah, the shirt is definitely a hindrance to this photo. Like a nice, I don't know, you know, pink jacket or something just to break it up, and also that doesn't look like a muddled kind of lump. Like the more I look at the sweatshirt, I'm like, yeah, it didn't bother me as much as when you kind of like hit on. Now I'm looking at it going, yeah, that sweatshirt's a hot mess.
I gotta go set fire to it right now.
Yeah, I think you should.
Hopefully she's not wearing it. Otherwise child services is gonna get involved.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So there's that. Anyway, I forget every time I go and shoot with that lens, because it's almost never, but when I do, I forget how crisp those colors are.
Sure.
Like that, yeah. What a great lens that is. Not often used. Maybe that'll be the challenge coming up soon. Not for next week.
So okay.
There's that. All right. Topic this week. We're getting right into it. It's all photo this week, Adam.
Wow. Tight. A tight show.
We'll see. It might go on and on and on here, but I got stuff to do, so probably not.
Good.
So I got a message from some friends of ours. Monday. Monday was a holiday for you, right?
Yes. Family day.
Family day. Right. Yeah. Okay. What if you just live by yourself? What do you have to do? Just sit inside? How does that work?
I don't know.
You gotta go to work, Bill. I'm sorry, Bob. You don't have a family.
Yeah, that's harsh. Yeah.
Tough break.
Yeah.
Break. So anyway, I was on the Monday because I got a message from some friends of ours, and basically he said, hey, my wife, her name is Alina, and she said they're going to go on vacation. Two vacations this year. I don't know what they do to deserve that, but going on two vacations, going to Mexico for spring break, and they're going to Europe in the summer.
Okay.
And she wanted to know if her iPhone was good enough, high enough resolution was what she asked, to make a photo album.
Mm.
So I said, she was specific, although I'm not an iPhone expert, believe it or not. Okay. Which iPhone do you have?
Oh, mine's pretty old. I have like the 7.
Okay. I have the 7.5.
Okay.
No, yeah, I don't. No, I have it.
I think you have the one before me even. You have like the one that came between the 6 and the 7, right?
Yeah, but it's a 5 throwback too. So it's like, it's I have the original SE.
Okay.
And so it's good, but you have to crank it on the back with this hand crank to get it going. And everything, whenever you phone, you have to say Klondike 5. And so I have an old camera.
What does she have?
iPhone XR.
Oh, okay. That's what my wife has.
Okay. And it's iPhone XR. And then he has the iPhone 11, which I think they're pretty similar.
Yeah. I think maybe a slight bump in the camera, but very similar from what I understand.
Right. And so I checked, did some checking out. I think they both have 12 megapixel cameras. So is that enough resolution to make an album?
Yes, unless that album is going to be the size of a building.
I was going to make, and I couldn't get it worked out.
Okay, all right. No, that's plenty of pixels. You're good for printing purposes. You'll be sorted.
Did we ever land on what the sweet spot was for, like, what was your sweet spot for megapixels? Like in a DSLR, it's a little bit different than an iPhone, but in
I would DSLR, have said 8 is plenty. I wouldn't need more than 8.
I landed at 6. I was like 6. Yeah. Don't worry about any, 6.1. Okay, fine. But like, don't worry about it. After 6, I thought like 4 was the wheelhouse for most people. And then I was like, 6, yeah, you can't go wrong with 6.
Yeah, and I think it's all just cropping, right? Like, so if you, the more megapixels you have, the more you can crop and still keep enough pixels for, like, that's the wiggle room that I like. If I take a shot, I like it, and I'm like, oh, it's the subject's a little too far away, then I can crop it, crop 3/4 of the photo out and still have enough pixels. So that's, I think, the argument people make. But once you get to 8, or even the old 5D Classic is 12, right? Isn't that one 12?
10 or 12, I forget. Something
like that. Yeah, I think everyone says, oh, it's just like not nearly enough. Like, that's way more than enough you need. But I guess it's just the cropping. That's about the only big advantage to having that bigger size. Yeah,
I agree. So so my advice was, hey, iPhones are fantastic. And then she said, can I give her any tips? Like, specifically on, like, what are the settings to take the best photos? And I was like, well, there's no settings. Like, don't worry about settings. It's actually kind of one of the good things about the iPhone is that there is no settings. So the answer is yes, that camera is good enough. It will not replace a pro camera with pro lenses. That's what I try to tell everybody. If we talked a few weeks ago or something like that, it was like, about, does gear matter? Yeah, gear matters, but the delta between crappy iPhone photography and professional DSLR or now mirrorless cameras is getting smaller. Okay, it hasn't caught up yet. You can't do the exact same things, but the distance is getting smaller between the two, and it's pretty great. And the iPhone does have some advantages over a DSLR. What would those be, Adam? What would you consider to be an advantage?
The fact that it's always in your pocket, so portability would be a massive advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's one of the big things. Is like there's no memory card. You're not going to lose it. I guess, I mean, if you have one of the Samsungs, I think you can throw a memory card in there if you want. But like the iPhones, you store it, it's there, you know, uploads to the cloud whenever you're back home on the Wi-Fi or however you have it set up. So that's fantastic. It is always with you. You don't forget it. You're not hesitant to take it. Like, should I really take it? Nope. It's there with you. So that's step one, is making sure it's always out there with you. So now some photo tips. Now, so she wants to make an album. And I said, rather than write a long email, that you and I would figure this out and figure out the best way to give some photo tips, but also album tips. So first, What are some photo tips that are basically universal to any camera that you're going to use?
Well, I guess it depends on what you're shooting, but if it's kind of
vacation, you know, in Mexico.
Okay, so vacation in Mexico is don't bother taking photos in the middle of the day. Like that's the, yes, the easy one. It's like, all right, you're going to want to take photos, pick the appropriate time of day. So either if you're up early, and you want to take some photos early is good when the sun's just coming up, or wait until that hour before the sun goes down, and then shoot, you know, a little bit after, shoot the blue hour, shoot after the sun goes down, but don't bother with crappy time of day. You'll be harsh shadows and you'll be unhappy with the images.
Absolutely. That is the first step to anybody, I would say, especially when you're, you know, obviously when you're shooting outside, is know when to shoot. Now, you're being very specific, like right when the sun's coming up or the sun's going down. I'll expand that a little bit. And basically, so first of all, those times of day, it's called magic hour, which may or may not be an hour, but it is magic, that's for sure. But all, like most of the photos that you have on your wall, or like most of your favorites, or the, you know, the things that you like, your vacation photos, were all taken around magic hour.
The best ones, absolutely. But that's also because that's when I would take the camera out.
Right. Yeah, you know, ahead of time though, but like, yeah, it's not like an accident, like, oh, whoops, yeah, I got those, you know? So I would say, you know, on vacation, obviously you're going to be doing things. You'll be going to the beach, you'll be doing whatever, you're probably going to avoid noon o'clock anyways. So kind of try to aim for your photo taking to happen between sunrise and say 10 a.m. and then probably around 4 p.m. till sunset. And you're going to find you're going to get the best ones towards the extremes on that.
For sure. And then if you're going to go, like if you're hanging out at the resort most of the time and going to Mexico, I'm guessing, or stay at a resort, you're going to have a lot of amenities. You're going to spend a lot of your time there. So it's easy enough to say, okay, well, just take our photos when the light is best. If you're going to go sightseeing and you're going to go places where you're like, okay, I'm out here, it's not the best time of day and I'm going to take a photo, well, then that's where you're going to look for some open shade. So whether so near some trees, so you get some shade, which will even the light out on your subjects. And, you know, you might blow out the background, it'll be overexposed in the background, but if you're going to get good shots and just say, here we are, and not have, you know, terrible shadows on your people, I think you're probably best to just look for some shaded areas to pose your subjects.
It's like you're reading the show notes, Adam.
Oh,
which we know,
okay,
you're not.
All right, I am.
Yeah,
not.
I definitely said look for open shade. Now, open shade is basically large areas of shade. So if you're out, you know, in an old, like a cool town, find the shady side of the building and shoot over there. Now, what that does, now the problem when you shoot in the midday is that the super bright brights and the super dark darks are really far apart, and your camera has to choose between the two of them. Do you want to see the light or do you want to see the shadows? And you can't generally see both. So we want to even that out. We want to bring those closer together. So that's where we go and look for the open shade. And you're going to, it'll look a lot better on your subject's faces. That's for sure. What else? You did these out of order of what I wrote down. So those are the good starting points. The next part is composition makes a big, big deal. And we know there's some basic things like rule of thirds, mm-hmm, which is not, it's like we've talked years ago about this. It's actually the suggestion of thirds. But if you look at, well, look at our, look at, for example, my photo this week of Kurt Cobain there. She's basically on the right-hand third of the image. She's not dead center.
Right.
You broke it this week, but it's a good photo, so that it's a weird example. Like, your dog's dead center, but that's cool. Fills the frame.
Right.
But typically our eye likes that sort of thing. We like that composition. So if we break the frame up into thirds, both up and down into three sections, and then left and right three sections for nine, try to have your subject sort of on one of those thirds.
Sure.
That's the basic.
And I think if you're shooting one person, I generally tend to do that. Not always, like you said, I went dead center with my photo this week. But if you're shooting, say, three people, then I generally don't bother with rule of thirds. I usually just kind of go in the middle. Well, that
is three people is the rule of thirds.
Right, right. But I would tend to go, especially with a vacation shot, I would tend to just kind of center the people. And like, because I mean, you could still go rule of thirds and you could put the middle person off on the right third of the frame. But I tend to never do that. I find it looks odd when it's a group of people. So yeah, I think most people intuitively, when they shoot groups, probably put them in the middle. I think it's most normal looking to our eye.
Well, typically a group shot is mostly about the group and not where they are always.
Sure.
In that respect. So rule of thirds. The other one is, now here's one that is really easy to do and is probably the most overlooked, the most egregious faux pas I see when people are taking photos with any type of camera.
Okay.
Get down. They do not get down to eye level.
Yes. That was the only thing that I could see that really kind of makes for bad photos of your kids. I'm assuming they have kids, the friends that you're talking
about.
They do. Yeah. So if you're going to take photos of your kids on the beach or whatever, if you're hopefully, depending on the age of the kids, maybe these kids are old enough that they're eye level anyways. But if your kids are younger and smaller and you tend to shoot from your perspective, it really doesn't look very pleasing. So like this was an example of Sunny is low to the ground. So in order to get eye level with her, I have to be right on the ground. And it's a much more pleasing angle to look at than if I'm shooting from my height down on her, just seeing the ground. So yeah, get eye level.
Now, in this case, I happen to know their daughter, and she's a tall drink of water, so I have to bring an apple box to get up on there and get eye level. But
sure.
But typically, that's what you want to do. You want to get right down to the eye level of whatever your subject is. Just besides composition, it just brings us into that world and kind of shows you what it includes. You is kind of the best way to put it. A couple other things you want to think about with your photos, like, again, this is just with iPhone or whatever, is creating depth. Now, a photo is, you know, it's X number of whatever centimeters, inches, it's wide and it's tall. What we want to do, because it is flat, we want to create the feeling of depth. So that, you know, like, so you, typically I don't put a subject up against a wall. Every once in a while we will for effect, but generally I like to create a sense that we're looking into something, into the distance.
Okay.
Okay. Adam does not.
No, I like depth too. I'm much a fan of depth. And so even in shallow depth of field photos, I like there to be an element of depth if the photo lends itself, or if there's something in, like, you know, rather than kind of going down a street and shooting it sideways, I'll kind of look for the winding road and pose a subject or take the photo there so I can see where that road goes into out of focus. I just think same with trees, rather than, like, you can pose your subject with the trees right behind them, or kind of go at an angle where the tree now all of a sudden, or a line of trees, creates kind of something more interesting in your background. And if you shoot on a shallow depth of field, then that effect gets kind of like blown out, but it's still sort of there. And again, I'm looking at the photo of Sunny and the fence, rather than shooting with the fence straight to her back, I'm sort of shooting where the fence is kind of at a corner, and then the fence lends some depth to the photo rather than not having any depth.
So that, yeah, exactly. I did the exact same thing with mine. We see the little path that kind of winds off into the distance. And what do we call that? What's the big P word there?
What's the big P word? I don't know.
Perspective.
I was going to say perfect.
Perfection. No, we want to look for, we always look for perspective, and okay. So like, you know, like shrinking trees or converging lines or stuff like that, and that's a great way to add depth and add that. The last couple tips actually is because you're going to Mexico, you're going to have sun, and keep the sun to your back as the photographer.
Sure.
Typically. One of the biggest mistakes I see is people trying to shoot with when their subject is backlit, and most cameras, even the iPhone, doesn't do a great job at that. That's how you get kind of washed out colors. Like it's just not great. So you want to keep your back as the photographer, keep your back to the sun, and you're going to end up with nice sharp colors. Nice sharp contrast.
And subjects that probably are going to complain a little bit. So you're going to have to play with that one, because I know my kids doing that are like, yeah, no, we're not staring that way. So you're going to have to probably go a little bit at an angle and find the happy medium. Yes. But yeah, with adults and close your eyes, 1, 2, 3, open, you can sometimes get away with that. But pure back to sun can be challenging with kids.
Right. Lastly, the one thing I would say with the iPhone is people are tempted to use that blurry background portrait fun mode.
Sure.
You know it?
I don't even know if my camera has it, but I know the mode.
I don't
because
think yours does, no.
Yeah, because I'm sure my wife's camera does that, and my daughter got a new phone, so I'm sure hers does it, and they love that mode.
Yeah, I don't love that mode. It's getting there. It is pretty cool, but it's not perfect yet. And so like you'll see some patches that it just can't quite handle. And I think generally it will save the original copy as well, which is just bloat the phone's memory. But in that case, it's okay, because doing that later on in Photoshop with the neural filters, the neural filters do a fantastic job of blurring that background. And so if you have the original, I would suggest don't worry about doing it in the camera. Do it later before you get your album printed.
Okay.
Last tip for, or no, two more tips, I think. Two more tips for photos, and then I want to get into quickly some album stuff. Shoot in landscape and portrait orientation.
Okay.
Don't just shoot one or the other. A lot of people, especially lately, a lot of people really shoot with the portrait just because it's easy with the phone. Like your thumb is on the button and you just kind of want to shoot that way. Nothing wrong with it. Don't do all of them the same. You want to have a nice mix of both, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that'll lend itself too to the album, which is going to, depending on the software you use and the different, you know, photos that you want to plug in, if you want to put 2 or 3 on a page, it helps to have different orientations for the layouts.
Right. And then lastly, I would say make sure to get some close-ups of your subjects, not just like far shots of them having fun, on the beach or whatever it is. Get some in tight with the beach in the background. Don't just shoot all wide.
Okay.
Which is kind of what a lot of people try to do.
Sure.
And then, okay, so that's how to take better photos. But what about an album? Do you ever, like, you still make albums? Your wife does?
We haven't done any for a while, but we haven't traveled anywhere either. We usually make them, like when we go to Disneyland, we'll make an album for that trip to Disneyland. Or when we last went to Mexico, same thing, we'll make a Mexico album. So I guess just the last 2 years of not going anywhere has lent itself to no albums. Uh-huh. It didn't even make the calendar this year, which is sad. So we will go somewhere again, and I will make an album again.
And when you do, what are some considerations you have?
I like a lot of the things you just said. Like, I like to shoot in different orientations. I like to have some sort of scenic wide shots, kind of like almost like you know, I think probably the way you think of a movie, some establishing shots, some medium range shots, some close-ups, you know, a little bit of everything, because then the book is kind of like a story, sort of telling the story of the trip. So, and then I'll, obviously the best photos are going to make it in, but I like to on a certain page, you know, pair different kinds of photos. So if we went to a certain landmark, then yeah, I'm going to get a wide shot, a couple of medium shots, and then some close-ups. And then again, I think that'll tell the story better.
Shoot your coverage. That's what it's called. Shoot coverage.
There you go.
In movies, we call it that. Yeah, you nailed it though. An album is storytelling. So think about the whole story. You don't have to document the entire thing, but think about before you leave. Think about what is the story. Like we're going on vacation, so where do you start? You know, is it packing your suitcase? Is it at the airport, on the airplane? Whatever how that story unfolds. Now you don't have to spend your entire vacation filming your story, because then you kind of ruin it. But you want to have a little snippet from kind of each part of that story. And then in terms of getting the coverage, yeah, wide shots, but also get detail shots, like super close-ups of little things like your hotel room number, or maybe there's a sign out front of your Airbnb, or, you know, like there's these little things that fit well into an album and sort of act as signposts for, like, mostly for your memory. Too. It's not even necessarily like, oh my God, that's art. We were in room 319, but it will trigger memories of being there.
Sure.
And maybe you delete it, but I would definitely include some of those. Like even like, okay, maybe you have coffee every morning. Like when you're in France, for example, you go to this cafe, get a shot of the espresso cup, because that'll be unique. You'll remember that. And you'll want to include that in your album. The rest of the stuff, you know you're going to get shots of your family and everybody having fun. That's basic stuff. Make sure to include everybody. It's one thing that, you know, you're probably the same as me. There's probably more photos of the rest of your family than there are of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, because I obviously you take most of the photos, but I try to sneak in a few, because I do want my kids to remember that I was there at some point, not just the guy who drove and did dishes.
Good point. Yeah,
but especially get shots together, right? Yeah. Also, shoot with the rear camera. Don't shoot with the selfie camera. First of all, the rear camera much better. But also, don't be afraid to hand your camera off to other people. I usually, I don't know how you do this, like when you ask, but I usually find the heaviest, biggest person I can find, because I know I can outrun them if I have to.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good strategy.
Yeah. So if I ask you to take a picture, don't be insulted. definitely hand your camera off. And actually, if you want to have a really great photos, just as one little tip I have, whenever I hand my camera off to somebody and say, hey, can you get a photo of us? And they take it and hand it back, I do not look at it. I roll the dice and go, okay, whatever that's going to be, it's going to be.
Okay.
And whatever imperfection happens, that's part of the story of, sure, of how that goes.
Yeah.
So do that. I don't try to document everything. Like when I'm going to put together an album or when we go on vacation, I don't try to document every single thing that we do. Instead, I try to include things that will remind us of that event.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like it's like, oh, well, what did it smell like that day? Or like, you know, what was going on? There's all those little memories that will get triggered if you just can shoot some of the things, not everything. Everything is nothing if you shoot everything.
Right.
Okay. Lastly, for the album, I always, like, I make an album for my kids every year for their birthday. Mm-hmm. So they get an album with it's 102 photos, because it's 100 photos plus a cover and a back cover.
Okay.
But every year, like, I know what I want to have for the cover. So what I do like on the cover is kind of like a smiling face, like the smiling face. And on the back cover, I like having a shot from behind, like a sunset silhouette, or my kid running off or jumping off a diving board, or just something that says this is the back of the book. Well, I'm clever. I'm clever like that, Adam.
Mm-hmm. Very clever.
Okay. So what I would suggest is kind of keep in mind what you want for the two covers ahead of time, and make sure you get that. And definitely get a sunset. Well, I guess you can. If you're on the East Coast, you're probably not going to get a sunset over the ocean. But get something like that. Get a nice silhouette or something like that for the back cover.
Yeah, silhouettes are great for covers.
They are. Any more tips on albums?
No, you just nailed it with a silhouette. Like Beach Mexico, take some silhouette photos. Yeah, those are great. Definitely for front or back cover, the silhouette of the family is awesome. So yeah, get that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there you go, Alina. If you have any questions, I'll give you Adam's email and you can sort it out.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, challenge for next week, Adam, is our monthly challenge. It is red. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers, even better, do both of those things and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram, and we'll talk about that when we talk next time.
Okay.
Websites, Adam. Oh, Sonny the Woodle, blown up. It probably has his own Instagram. It's like a Woodlegram or something.
Yeah, I'm probably going to put the photo that I just put in our challenge up before it even gets to the Hosers posting. So no, the world of Sonny the Woodle will have already seen this photo because it's doggy magic.
I think you definitely are going to have to put a little blurb in there about, hey, check out the Two Hosers photo show for more on this, because this one's going to blow up the internet.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and tag Holtzfeller Woodworking in there too, just for me.
Sure. Sounds good.
Yeah. Make no sense whatsoever. All right. So check that out. Go ahead and check my stuff out on HoltzfellerWoodworking.com. My own personal stuff at AlanAtridge.com, or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.